listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living. When I was a child growing up, my military family moved constantly. But whenever possible, I spent a lot of time on my grandparents' farm in the Deep South. To get away from the grown-ups and spend time nurturing myself, I lost myself out of doors, sitting with the cows as they quietly munched grass or playing with the kittens or the baby chickens who hung out near the barn. I didn't think about that very much for years until I found myself sitting on my wonderful new deck as I read the book of today's guest, Linda Lenore, and she raised the question, what was your nurturing place when you were growing up? And that's when I realized why I love this deck so much. We had it enlarged 2 years ago. It sits overlooking a creek with wild turkeys walking by, and I cannot stay away from it. I'm there every day. And when I realized all of that, I think I got what feng shui is all about. You're listening to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. And I'm your host and creator, Eileen Dillon. We have two locations where you can chat with us on emotionalpro.com and blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. And as many of you know, we have a toll-free number, 800-630-7858, and we definitely invite you to call in with your questions or comments. Now, Linda Lenore began her journey with feng shui more than 25 years ago when she heard that her home contributed to her son's death. When 10 years later she discovered the home she was in at that time was contributing to her own illness, she and her husband remodeled it using green and sustainable building principles. That has led to today when Linda Lenore is the only person in North America to hold the credentials of Feng Shui Master, Certified Green Building Professional, and Vital Office Vital Home Consultant. The home and corporate environments she's created both stimulate success and soothe the soul. Known as the Healing Decorator, Linda's the author of The Gift of the Red Envelope, and she writes, speaks, and was selected an American Society of Interior Designers Distinguished Speaker in 2008. Linda Lenore, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much, Eileen. It's great to be here.
All right. You know, personally, I've never paid much attention to decorating my home. Let's get this on the table right away. other than making me comfortable and my family comfortable, but what I learned by reading The Gift of the Red Envelope was that feng shui is about creating harmony for ourselves, not only with the various aspects of our own lives, but between us and our surroundings, our environment, nature. And it turns out that feng shui is a much bigger topic than I thought. So I thought I'd ask you to start out by telling us a little bit about what feng shui is all about and what's the scope of it.
I'd love to. And you've done a wonderful job of introducing everyone to what feng shui is all about. It is creating harmony. It's creating harmony for yourself and for your loved ones and within your environment. Feng shui itself is somewhere between 3,000 and 10,000 years old, depending upon who you talk to. The words themselves refer to wind and water from the Asian culture. The word feng is wind and shui is water. The very first feng shui that is really recorded had to do with finding a location to build the building so the building would be safe. Safe from the wind and the water. You wouldn't want the building to be at the top of the mountain because there'd be too much wind. And if you've ever been at the top of a mountain, you know just how windy it can be. It's a great place to fly a kite if there's no trees around there. And then you don't want to be having the building in the flatlands because of flooding. And I know that many people are in areas where that occurs on a somewhat regular basis, so they would be very familiar with that. The idea would be to have the building partway up the mountain and partway down the mountain, or at least up a little ways, so that there isn't the possibility of it being flooded. And then we want to have life around us, ideally. There's the first school of feng shui is really called landform school, sometimes called landscape school. And the location of a building is based upon what they call the armchair position that has four animals. And without getting into great detail, the basic part of it is that it would be surrounded by greenery. It would be in a mountain range that would have life year-round. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're very fortunate to have one of these mountain ranges called the Coastal Range that runs from San Francisco down to Santa Cruz. And the coastal fog comes in and provides moisture for the redwoods and the other shrubbery that is growing in that area, as compared to a lot of the other areas within California that are quite golden during the summer months, which is when this is being recorded. So what we're looking for is an area that has health and vitality of vegetation around it year-round, so that we feel like there is an abundance of life. And that affects us emotionally. The four animals that they use to describe it, just to give you an idea, are the turtle, the dragon, the tiger, and the phoenix. And the reason for those is that we want a turtle backing. We want to have the feeling of being supported behind us. We want to have the feeling of having protection on either side, which is the dragon and the tiger. And then the red phoenix is the front of your house or your apartment, wherever you happen to be living, so that you have this view. You can have the view of what is coming towards you, whether it's good or not good, so you could protect yourself if it wasn't good, and you could welcome it if it was. So that's the very first school of feng shui, and it was based on how you create a building so that you feel protected and can see the good coming to you in your life.
Wow, I love that positive orientation. Well, I think that a lot of people, I certainly did, tend to think of feng shui as something light or something that wealthy matrons get involved in to keep themselves busy and give themselves a place to spend money. But what brought you to feng shui was not light. It was deadly illness. And tell us what happened for you. What brought you into this field in the first place?
Well, as you shared, it had to do with hearing about the death of my son and a correlation with that with feng shui. This was almost 30 years ago. My son, Jeff, was 13 when he died of a malignant brain tumor. And what happened was I already had a design business. I had a company with three other ladies. We didn't really know how to run this business. We were taking design classes, and the school that we were attending was focused in on the design classes, not on the business side of it. So I went to a trade show that was geared just towards learning how to run, from a business perspective, a design business. And on the last day of the six-day-long trade show, sat in the front row of an auditorium because I'd been walking in 4-inch pointed-toe shoes. Again, this was 30 years ago. I wasn't quite used to the idea of cement floors and pointed-toe shoes and heels. So I sat down in this front row so I could rub my feet and didn't pay attention to what was going on behind. Just about the time the presentation started, looked around, discovered I really was one of a handful of people that were not of Asian descent. Just that, at that point, a gentleman walked in. It was Grandmaster Lin Yun. At that time, everyone called him Professor Lin. And he came in, started to explain in Mandarin what was feng shui and design. Now, I'd never heard of feng shui before. I don't think that anyone that I knew had ever heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line was that he was describing things. He had a translator. He'd say good feng shui. Everyone would go, oh, you know, and they were taking notes. And whenever he'd say bad feng shui, they'd go, oh, you know. Yeah, it was quite comical, and yet again, it was very disconcerting, everything, because there really were only about, you know, 4 or 5 of us in that auditorium that didn't understand what was going on first time around, not speaking the Mandarin language. At the very, very end, he drew a transparency, because, you know, here's the technology back then. We had overhead projectors and transparencies. He drew a transparency. He put it on the projector, and he said bad feng shui, and there was a huge gasp in the audience. And when the translator got up, he said, if this is the configuration of a home, if this is the child's bedroom, and this is where the bed is located within that room, it could be so harmful to the child's health, the child could actually die. what he had described, and this gentleman did not know me, no one in that room knew me, he had described my house. He had described Jeff's room, and, of course, Jeff had died just a few months before. With that, I grabbed my things. I ran out of that auditorium. I found a corner in the convention center and just bawled. I don't know that I had actually opened up emotionally from the time that Jeff had passed away. So this was a really, obviously impactful moment to me. This particular presentation was in the morning. There was another 3-hour presentation in the afternoon, and I had to go back and find out what was going on. And in the second presentation, Grandmaster Lin Yun said that if you have your own business and you need more clients, you need to put up a brass wind chime outside the front door to your home. Now, just to keep this very short, because there's so many things we do want to talk about, I didn't have a brass wind chime. I had a ceramic one in my backyard. I put it by my front door, and although normally if we got one client a month, we were doing well, within 1 week I got 3 new clients. So I go, I don't believe in this. I can't measure it. I can't weigh it. I can't taste it, smell it. I'm an analytical person. I've got to find out more. So it took me about 6 months to discover where there were some classes being taught. I started in, and the journey has not ended.
Wow, what a story. I was going to ask you if you had any remarkable stories about people's lives who had changed dramatically using feng shui, and that certainly it happened in your own life. That's really great. Well, now, early on in the Gift of the Red Envelope, you tell us about Baghua, which is encompasses 9 areas of daily life, and I'd like you to tell us what Baghua is. Wait a minute.
And what else?
There's a sound going on. Do you hear it?
No, I'm not hearing it.
Oh, okay, good. At first I thought it was happening in my home, speaking of talking about homes, but that's not what happened. It's definitely
okay, well, let
in
me
ears.
Go ahead, and then if you need to step off.
Yeah, go ahead and tell us about Baghua and the 9 areas of living, please.
Okay. I pronounce it Baghua, and Baghua. The meaning of it is 8-sided. Ba is 8, and gua is sides. Now, there's so many different ways of pronouncing it, so I just wanted to let you know that that's how I will be pronouncing it. The way that you pronounced it is fine also. The reason that they call it the Baghua is because there are 8 areas on the outside of a square. Let me step back here. We take the home or a room. We can use the Baghua for both. And we use the doorway as the entrance into the space, whether it's the front door to the house or the door into a room. And we visually divide the space into thirds both directions so that you will have essentially 9 squares or rectangles within the home or the room. To keep it as simple as possible, let's just say that there are 3 areas where the door could be, and those 3 areas would be the, on the left-hand side, what is known as the knowledge area, as you're walking in, the middle section is the career area, and the right-hand side is the helpful people area. As you walk around the room or look around the room, let's say that we use a clock, the face of a clock, and let's say that the door is in the middle of the wall walking into the space. We would say that that would be the 6 o'clock position. That would be the area of career. And as we go around, I will give you these 8 areas, and then the 9th area is the center, just to help people understand a little bit about what's going on. And let me tell you a little bit about each area as I go around as well. So the 6 o'clock position is the area of career, and it has to do with how money comes in and finding your life purpose. At the 7:30 position, we would have the area of knowledge, and that's how you learn or you gain knowledge, whether it's classes, computers, books. The 9 o'clock position would be the area of family. That's your ancestry. That's the past. The 10:30 position is the area of wealth. That's how you spend and you save your money and all the riches of life. The 12 o'clock position is the area of fame. That's your values, your integrity, how people know you. The 130 position is the area of partnership. There's three areas associated with partnership. They are your spouse, significant other. It is business one-on-one relationships like the realtor with their buyer or seller. It's also the area of connection to your divine source, God, Allah, higher power, whatever is your terminology for that. The 3 o'clock position is the area of children. That's the future. That's creativity and playfulness. The 4:30 position is the area of helpful people. It's also known as the area of travel, benefactors, and mentors. And the center area, you know, now that we've gone around the clock, the center area is the area of health. And it's also health on all levels. It's the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual areas. So that's the Bagua, and it's placed on a house as kind of a map to the house. So you may have one room that is all the area of children, another room that's completely the area of knowledge. And then it can also be used in a room. And so each room would have all 9 areas as well. And we can use this to help us set our intentions for what it is that we'd like to have in our life, or to help us discover why we may be blocked. You know, sometimes there's clutter, and that would be a way of blocking energy. Or sometimes there's too much stimulation from electronic activity, too many TVs or stereos or things like this in an area. So we can use the Bagua for either the whole house and or each and every room within the house to help us discover what's supporting us in our life or what might be hindering or undermining us, and being able to set our intentions. Does that give a pretty good description? Claire?
Yes, that's really wonderful. And I just point out to people that you have a map of that on page 79 of the Gift of the Red Envelope. So if they didn't follow it, they could check it out in your book. And that's really, really wonderful. One of the questions I have, you talk about how important it is, your entryway. When you walk into my house, now I moved into my husband's house about 14 years ago, and there's a very well-lit stairway that you open up to. There's a hallway on one side and a stairway going upstairs to the left, and the living room's on the left. And I was thinking after reading your book that I probably need to put a mirror in that area or something to balance it, but what about entryways that have hallways and stairways in them? What's significant about that?
The entryway is the mouth of chi. The human body is actually, in some of the schools, there's about a dozen different schools of feng shui, the body is superimposed on the house in some of the schools, and the front door or entryway would be basically the head or the mouth. And we want to have this openness, the ability for the energy or the chi to be able to flow easily. So the front door main entrance is one of the most important areas, both inside and outside. Now, to answer your question specifically about a mirror, there are so many possibilities that we can do within an environment, whether it's the entrance or any other room. Bottom line, I like to have people use their intuition, their gut feel. If they've got a mirror, they could place someplace temporarily and see how they feel about it. Does it make the space brighter? Does it reflect something that is really, really wonderful, or does it distract from them? What we want to do in an entryway is to have things that bring us life and make us feel good. Plants usually are one of the items that we can use. Some people aren't able to keep plants alive, and if that's the situation, we can certainly use silk plants. Mm-hmm. Did I hear a little chuckle there?
No, I'm very good with plants. My husband closed down his office after 40 years of being a doctor, and there were some plants in the office, and I brought them home, and I repotted them, and I put them in the bathroom that's right across from my office. And I just feel so much better going in there. I love looking at them. And now I'm thinking about putting a shelving in there for them. I didn't have any idea how I would feel when I added plants.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that what we have done with our houses, with our buildings, is we have put our body that is used to being out in nature. I mean, you know, we didn't have buildings, you know, hundreds of years ago. We lived on the land. We would be in caves, or we would create some kind of shelter for ourselves. But it wasn't a rigid box. And now that we've created this box that we've put ourselves in, it's really important to bring plants into our environment so that we feel more connected to nature. Along that line, by bringing in pictures of water, which obviously is nature, that will also make us feel more serene and connect us. Pictures of animals or statues of animals. All of these are things that you might bring into the entryway. It might be fresh flowers. It might be a flowering plant. So that what we have is nature that greets us inside, so that we're not just coming into a sterile environment, something that just has the place to hang the coat or to put the shoes or just a walkway from the door to a room. We want something that has something to do with nature to welcome us into the space.
Oh, that's nice. All right. Thank you for that. You know, my license plate on my car reads EMOT for emotional balance, which is my aim since I work with emotions. I began to think, if I were a person who wanted to attain and maintain emotional balance, what could I do with feng shui that would help me with that goal? I know that's a big question.
I'm just thinking, which way do I go with it?
It's, you know,
so, there's so many things.
I just realized that we are up to our first break, so you have time to think it over, and let's talk about that when we come back, okay?
Oh, perfect timing. I love it. Thank you.
All right.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting raiseincrediblekids.com now. That's raiseincrediblekids.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Our upcoming guests are listed at the top of our radio show page on emotionalpro.com. Next week, Dr. Risa Caparo is going to be talking with me about somatic intelligence, which is a remarkable way she's developed for listening to and interacting with our own bodies. And I'm also excited for next month to have the author of Medication Madness, Dr. Peter Bregan, who's a psychiatrist. He's coming back on our show to discuss his latest book called Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, and it's for doctors and various people as well as patients. So you'll want to listen to that, because if it's not done correctly, psychiatric drug withdrawal can have disastrous results. So be sure to listen to that one. You can hear us on Blog Talk Radio, EmotionalPro.com, or subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. We hope you don't miss any of our fascinating guests and their life-altering ideas and information, and we're grateful to you for listening and helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. Let me just mention here that in 2 weeks, I'm participating in the Emotional Intelligence Telesummit being held by the Art of Health. Go to emotionalpro.com for a link that will take you to the information and registration page for this. It's really going to be an incredible event. There are 26 experts talking about emotions in health and education and parenting. I'm talking about how parents can raise an emotionally masterful child, and I'm also giving away 3 hours of coaching to a lucky winner. So don't miss this. Sign up today. Remember, you can talk to us toll-free, 800-630-7858, and now we're back talking with Linda Lenore, who is a feng shui master and author of The Gift of the Red Envelope. You can find her at Green Chi Designs. That's green, the word chi, C-H-I, designs.com. So, Linda, before the break, I ask you to talk to me about what I could do in feng shui terms to bring greater emotional balance to my life.
Yes, and when I was thinking about this, I want to start off with a story to give you an idea of how important it is for us to be aware of what we have in our space. About 15, 18 years ago, I was doing some work with a lady who was trying to sell her home in a very prestigious area. And the market was an okay market at that point in time. But the house had been on the market for about a year and just was not selling. And I was still a little young in my being forthright with what I was feeling to my clients. I was still kind of feeling out the different schools and how to approach people. And as I was walking into this house, I just kind of got this bad shiver down my spine.
Oh.
And I walked around and I gave her some ideas of some things to do. And I kept coming back to this statue, this jade statue that was probably about 2 feet tall. It was almost kind of like a stool, a carved jade stool. And finally I asked her, I just said, "Can you tell me about this statue?" And she said, "Oh, that hideous thing, I just can't stand it." She said, "But I want it in the divorce." And I go, "Whoa, okay." So here's something that she can't stand, and yet it is a symbol of something that it was very antagonistic in her life. And I said, "You know, you could say," and the other part of the story is that she was having trouble making the mortgage payments on this house. And this mortgage was something like $6,000 a month at that point. You know, so it was a huge mortgage. I said, "Sell this piece, get it out of here, you'll be able to make the mortgage." She did. About a week later, it was out of the house. 3 weeks later, the house sold.
Wow.
Because the energy was so bad around it, you could feel it. You didn't have to ask her the story behind it. It was just so strong. So what I'd like to have people do is look at their house. What is irritating them? Because if it's irritating them, it's going to have an emotional charge to it. And we need to either fix the item or we need to beautify it so that, or release the item, whatever it happens to be that we can do. And I'm not one for buying more stuff. The way that I approach my consulting with my clients is, first and foremost, the space needs to be functional, then it needs to be beautiful. And if we haven't covered feng shui, then we'll find some solution from a feng shui perspective. Make sure that you can walk through the space easily so that it is functional, that you can sit, that you can do the tasks that you want to do. This affects us emotionally. If you're sitting someplace and you're not comfortable, you start getting, irritated with the space or irritated with yourself, and that builds on your emotions in a negative way. So every little thing that you can do within your home to make it work for you and make it beautiful for you and releasing any items that have any negative charge to them emotionally would be a way to start. Then we can also look at clutter.
Now, please, no. Now there you are striking a sore spot for me.
Well, let's put it this way. I do feng shui. Clutter is one of the issues that many people have. In fact, most people have it. I joined an organization called the National Association of Professional Organizers just so that I could have good resources to give my clients. For short, it's called NAPO, N-A-P-O, and you can go online and look up, Google that and find your local chapter to find some organizers if you need some support with this. I have learned so many tricks from the trade, so to speak, on how to work with the clutter. And then there's real life. Now, in the introduction, you mentioned how we had to do a remodeling of our house. Well, it was a forced and very quick remodel. And so a lot of things got put into boxes. Last year, I was going through over 100 boxes, a lot of papers, and it brings up emotions of things that you didn't accomplish or things that you did accomplish. We need to be a little bit more, it would be helpful for us to be conscious of the clutter. It takes time because it is an emotionally charged situation for us to be going through organizing or releasing any of the clutter. Just remember how long it took for it to form and give yourself more than a day or two to try to get rid of it. My daughter and I have been going through a storage locker, bringing up a lot of memories of Jeff and of her childhood, getting rid of things. And it has been an interesting couple of weeks. I go in these cycles of emotions. So give yourself the opportunity to have a break and reward yourself when you are going through anything to dealing with clutter or organizing, especially things around the deaths of loved ones or the dissolution of marriages or any of the dreams that you've had that have been dashed in some form or another, because it does bring up and is very, very tiring. So clutter is one of the things that I would like to have you consider as a way to start strengthening your home to support you from an emotional perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also color. Now, color is powerful. Everything has a frequency. Atoms are moving, vibrating. Putting any two atoms together creates a certain frequency. Adding a third one changes that frequency. Everything has a vibration. When we look at the color spectrum that we can see, we have the rainbows, the rainbow colors. It basically goes from the reds through kind of the seven color ranges, which is also associated with the chakras and the energy centers of the body, which I also talk about in my book, The Gift of the Red Envelope. I won't go into a great deal here at this point, but starting at the base of the spine is the color red. And that has to do with kind of the fight-or-flight energy that we have. The abdominal area, our intestine, is the color orange, and that's that gut feel that we have. The yellow center is the solar plexus, which is just above the gut, right around the belly button, just below the heart. And then the heart area is the color green. Our throat area is the color blue. And what is called the third eye, which is on the forehead between our eyes, about an inch up, that color is the color indigo. And then the top of our head is known as the crown chakra, and that is the color purple. Any of those colors associated with that part of our body brings up the emotions that would be associated with that. So if we're going through heartbreak, having the color green around us will help us to balance the heartbreak. If we made a gut choice and it didn't turn out the way we thought that it would, having some orange color around us would be good. Even drinking orange juice, just the color of it, will help to support us energetically with the frequencies. So we can bring in the colors to support us with our emotional challenges, and as we are progressing and wanting to change, that we can bring in certain things. If we don't feel like we're speaking our truth, we may want to use the color blue, because blue has to do with the throat chakra. If we're striving for more spirituality, we just don't feel that we're on our spiritual path, you may want to bring in lavenders or purples. And it doesn't mean that you have to paint the whole room that color. It could be that you bring in a throw that you put on the sofa and then you wrap yourself with that when you're sitting and watching TV or reading a book. Or it may be that you have a pillow or two, or you bring in some flowers or a vase that's in that color. Whatever will work for you will help you to support the emotional energy of your home with the emotional issue that you're going through.
That's
so those
really
are just
great.
A couple of things.
That's really great, Linda. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We have a question. Teresa called in, but she chose to offer her question than to talk directly with us. She says, I love to have, thank you, Teresa, for asking the question. I love to have a nice decorated home, and people say I have a good touch. But my husband grew up in a home with no decor or real care given to the aesthetic of the home. He doesn't understand why we have to have the house look good. Is there any way I can get him on board after 15 years of hearing him grumble? There's your question, Linda.
Well, one of my wonderful stories of success is that I have a lovely husband in my life. His name is Hillary. And I will share maybe a little bit later on how he came into my life. What I have discovered is that men like their dark cave. You know, I knew this from several different realms, and I've really experienced this even more so the last 20 years with the help of Hillary explaining to me what he likes. Men were the hunters, and they had to go out, and they were very focused in on the what was going on in the environment, what wasn't supposed to be there, so that they could find the deer or the prey and shoot it so that the family would have something to eat. So they're not into all the nuances of the house. They are very, very basic. They don't like to have a lot of distraction because the way that they're wired, they need to be able to see what doesn't belong there. And so part of it is to educate them that we as women are the ones that were always having to look at everything. We were trying to find, we were the ones that gathered the berries. So we had to find the color and bring that, you know, find where it was so that that would be our food. And we had to watch the children, and we had to take care of the cleanliness of the space. So we are people that do a lot of different tasks, and we look at beauty more than the survival of finding the animal. So maybe by sharing with him that having a place that is beautiful supports you as the feminine, and providing your husband with a space that is his cave or his den that may not have as much decoration around, so that you have this balance. It's the yin and the yang, and the yin and yang symbol has a little of the other in it. So we may have a space that is very austere with just a little decoration in it that would be great for him. And then we could have another location that's more for you, that has more beauty, but it also has one space that would be the quiet space that doesn't have a lot. It may be a wall, or maybe it's a half wall that doesn't have anything, or a corner of the room that doesn't have an object in it, so that we have this balance of the yin and yang energy. And that usually will support families where there's not the agreement. We may not be able to totally eliminate the challenge, but at least what we've done now is we've created a space that person, in this case your husband, could at least relate to as being his space and not decorated with everything.
Yes, and let me add to that for you, Teresa, that I used to teach a course on gender communication, and men and women hear very differently. Men hear with half their brain, and women hear with both halves of their brain, and it causes the conditions to be different. Like, men can block out conversations that women can't possibly block out, or distractions. And one of the key things that I learned when I discovered that information is that those differences don't mean there's anything wrong with either of the people. It just means that they're differences. And I think that's a really good way to deal with it also, is to just say, wow, we're really different. Let's see if we can do something for you and something for me. which ties in with what you've been saying there, Linda. So
that's great information. That helps me with some other conversations that I've been having, too. So thank you.
I played the video for my husband, and he argued with me anyway. He thinks I should be able to shut out commercials, and I have to mute them instead. But he can shut them out. Okay, so one of the things that I found very fascinating was talking about giving our home a heart. How do you do that?
When we were not quite so busy and didn't have quite so many distractions, whether that was in our own lifetime or generations ago, there was more connection to the home. Everything happened around what we called the hearth. The hearth was the fire. It kept us warm. It was also where there was the communication. It was the place where the food was being prepared because there was just one fire for us to tend. That hearth is now divided in our houses. It can be a fireplace. It can be the kitchen, the stovetop, or the cooktop and stove. What we want to look at is where can we create a space that is somewhat of a sacred space or a place for us together that we share our love. Now, it could be the kitchen. A lot of people, the kitchen is the place where everyone gathers. Everyone eats in the kitchen rather than in the dining room. So it may be the kitchen, but it could be the dining room because we are now gathering around an area of food. Sometimes it's the great room. Ideally, what we would like to do is to have a place that is somewhat untouched or have a location where we create something that is very special that represents the heart of the home. It may be that you have an object that literally is the heart, like a rose quartz heart, and you place it in the center of the house. It doesn't have to be seen. It can be put inside a little vase. It could be nicely displayed. It's just a case of where can we say that this represents the love and the nurturing of the household. Sometimes we will have just a bowl, and you may have some fruit in that bowl. It could be actual fruit that you could eat, and people go there, and you're basically creating that love and the love energy of the food, which is then ingested into the person so that they are receiving love. Find a place. What I have personally done is I have a bookcase area, and on the top shelf where my grandkids can't reach easily, I have a heart-shaped crystal, and I have it in a vessel, a container, so that the heart is being held basically by a hand and being nurtured. And I use that, and I go over there, and I talk to it and say my blessings and invoke an energy of love and nurturing as often as I remember to do so. And this is something that we can do in our homes. Several of the homes that I have done, actually many of the homes that I've done, gone into and talked to them, it just feels like it's missing that love quality. And as I became more aware of what was going on, I realized that maybe a previous owner or a previous occupant in the space had such bad energy, had bad situations happen to them, that the love energy had actually left the building, you know. Mm. And it may be just outside, and that we just need to go outside and say, okay, where's the love that belongs to this house, and ask it to come back in and be a part of this house. And it very often happens in houses that have been rented. So create a space that would be a nurturing, loving location, and have something smooth, beautiful, representing of love, something that has been given to you or something that you've purchased that you could put in that area as symbol of the heart of the home.
Okay, that's beautiful. I want to tell you that Teresa offered her thanks and said that we both described her husband exactly. We also have another caller waiting, which we'll get to after our break. And Linda, when we were preparing for the show, you had talked about something called aging in place. And with the boomers being such a huge population, I think it's a good idea for us to talk about that when we come back from the break.
Okay.
Good. Our guest today is Linda Lenore, who's master of feng shui and author of The Gift of the Red Envelope. You can find her on the web at lindalenore.com and at greenchidesigns.com. This is Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
To Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. We're back for more of our visit with Feng Shui Master Linda Lenore here on Full Power Living. And Linda, let's get to that issue of aging in place, which I found very fascinating and which I think is really going to be relevant or is relevant because the baby boomers are such a huge piece of population that aging now is becoming an issue just as other things have become issues as the baby boomers pass through life. So what's aging in place?
Aging in place is having a location, your home, that will allow you to live there as long as you want to live there and be functional for you. It may be, I've lived in a house now for 22 years, the longest house I've ever lived in, and I plan on living here as you know, until they either carry me out one way or another. What we want to do is to be able to walk through the space, having hallways that are wide enough so that if you need a walker that you can get through the environment, be able to have enough lighting so that you can see things, because as we get older, our eyesight changes and we become more light sensitive, so we need to be able to either dim the lights or have it be lighter than be brighter, maybe I should put it that way. We want to be able to tell the differences of surfaces so that if we are walking, we don't trip over something. Having everything flat, or when there is a change in the level, having a very distinct difference between that, the two levels, different colors, not having them blend in. Having things as like the plugs, the outlets, instead of having them close to the floor, having them up at 24 inches so that you can stand and you can plug an item in and out so you don't have to bend over, because as we get older, our balance is off, and sometimes something just as simple as trying to plug in something or unplug it, we lose our balance and can break a leg or a hip or something like that. Having different surfaces, different heights of surfaces in both the bathroom and the kitchen, so that if a person is not able to either bend over or is in a wheelchair, that they still have a space that is functional. This all came about for me personally about almost 20 years ago when I started having a rash, and they never really could figure out what it was, and I was tested for lupus, Lyme disease, arthritis, all these different things, and I literally could not walk. They told me that I'd never walk again. And I realized that my house, this house that I live in, was totally non-functional. There was one cabinet that I could reach. There was one area of the kitchen counter that if I could make it to the kitchen, I could get to. The bathroom was non-functional. It was a horrendous ordeal. I have a great deal of empathy for individuals that are disabled on any level, just from the little bit of experience that I had. I am very fortunate that I can walk at this point. They weren't able to diagnose it, and higher powers support and whatever.
Good
I'm
feng
able
shui.
To walk. Good feng shui. We,
That's
we'll,
right.
We'll take anything and everything. But aging in place is looking at the home so that it is an environment that is safe and conducive for everyday life. It could even be the chairs or the things that you sit in, making sure that you can push and have arms to be able to get back up and out of the chair. Not having area rugs that you would trip over, having flat surfaces, maybe hardwood floors, but you don't want something that's going to be slippery. So there's a variety of things, and we take into account what a person is, what their desires are, the functionalities that they have, what they want to have in the future. When I was doing this remodeling, because I am fortunate enough to have several grandchildren, all grandsons, I might add, that I wanted some places where they could work in the kitchen that were lower because they're shorter. And then my husband, because he's taller, we had the counter raised up about 4 inches so that he's able to work comfortably without having to bend over. So that's what aging in place is creating an environment that is good for all ages through all possibilities of abilities or disabilities.
Thank you. We have a hotbed of activity here on the call line. We have a caller waiting, and we also have a question from Garnet. Garnet, thank you for that question. Linda, Garnet wants to know if feng shui would interfere with being a Christian because she's heard that it was associated with a different religion.
That's an excellent question, Garnet. Thank you very much. I was raised in the Judeo-Christian background, so that was one of my biggest challenges when I was introduced to feng shui. Feng shui, there are some schools of feng shui that are either Buddhist or Taoist, and you can either incorporate those into the practice if you want to, or you can ignore them. Being of a Christian background myself, I look at the commonalities of the different spiritual religious backgrounds and incorporate what works for me personally. And that's what I would suggest for you as well. A lot of my clients are Filipino, and they are Catholic in general. And so we are going through the house, and we're doing feng shui for the house based on their Catholic religious background. So yes, there are some schools that are based on other religions, and no, it does not interfere with your Christian or what any specific religion that you have. You can find ways of incorporating feng shui that are not religious based.
Wonderful. That's a great, great response. Thank you. Now we have a caller, my friend Dakey. Dakey, are you on the line?
Good morning. Okay, so yes, I had a question. I loved what you're saying here and was grabbed in when you started speaking about the emotional feeling of the home, and all of those things were useful. And as you go into these environmental things and how to accommodate and live in the space, I have a question for you, which I think might, feel free to cater it a bit more broadly than me personally, but what about those of us who live in someone else's house and we only have one room, and there's only so much you can do with the room? So my question is twofold. How do you better cope with having no control whatsoever about the entire environment, other than one's room? And how can one best incorporate certain principles if you only have one square room?
I love that question.
And your name is Dankey, is that?
It's
yes, it is.
D-E-K-I,
Dankey.
Like Dakey.
Dakey, okay, Dakey. Thank you so much. I have a lot of clients that fall into that category, so it's not an unusual question. You only have control over your own space. So by all means, do what you can in your room to make it feel good for you. What I usually suggest to people as starting off with feng shui and as the main thing in feng shui is pick three areas within the space that you focus. You only need to do one item in each one of those areas, and then what you've created is a triangle, and the triangle is the strongest geometric form. And when we are creating buildings, the triangle is what stabilizes the formations. What we want to do is to pick three areas. I usually suggest that the wealth area be one, mainly not because of the money aspect of it, but because it's the riches of life. So look at the Bagua area, and that would be, as you're walking into the space, the back left corner. And then your connection to a spiritual source, which is the partnership area, that's the back right corner. So those two areas, as you're walking into the room, would be two areas that I would choose. I would probably have, I would say, either a picture of you when you're healthy or a piggy bank in that wealth area, maybe a plant. And then in the partnership area, if you have a spiritual icon that works for you, or if there is something that evokes a divine energy for you, put that in the partnership area. And then choose some area along the wall that has the door on it and put an object there. It may be a water feature, it may be a plant, but something that will symbolize that what you're doing is that you're anchoring your energy in that space, and that energy encompasses your what you consider to be the riches of life, your spiritual side, and then some other part of your life. That's what you can do in your personal room. And then, if you can, talk with the people that you're renting from or the people that own the space and say, could we do a few other things around here? Maybe you could put a wind chime outside the front door and everyone would enjoy it. That's going to bring good energy to everyone. Or maybe it's a water feature, or maybe it's a beautiful plant or an area rug that you're contributing to the space and everyone benefits from it. So that's how I usually suggest for my clients that only have a room that they can work with.
That's really great. We have another caller, Cecilia. Linda, who says she's Catholic. Thank you, Cecilia, for your call. She's Catholic also, and she was happy to hear your explanation and wonders how a person should orient their bed in the bedroom in connection to where the door is located.
That's a great question, and it takes a lot of questions and back and forth. So let me give you some of the principles here. And bottom line is, many times there's only one place you can put the bed because of windows and doors and bathrooms and doorways out of the house. So it boils down to being functional. Where can you put the bed that is going to be functional? And if it's not in a correct feng shui perspective from that, on that basis, then what we'll do is we'll find a feng shui solution to start supporting that. So the ideal location for the bed would be as far from the door as possible, yet able to see the door or the entrance way. The idea was, when we lived in caves, we would never sit right by the entrance to the cave in case a tiger or a predator were to walk in. We'd be far enough away so we could get the club or the gun or whatever evolutionary field we were in at the time to protect ourselves. And we still have that encoded in our DNA, that we need to feel like we're being able to be protected. When you have a bed that's right by the door, we're too vulnerable. At the very, very least, you might put either a statue of a dog or something that you consider to be a watch dog or a watch, a protector. It might be a spiritual icon. It could be a picture of Jesus, or it could be Buddha, that you would have between the door and your bed. So those are a few things that we can do to start off with. And for those of you that are on the call and you've got situations, please, you've got my website. You can email me through the website. I'm more than happy to try to answer your questions for you so that you can have the benefit of the feng shui. And you'll also find a lot of information on the websites through the blog and things like that that may answer your questions.
Okay, and which one? Is that Green Chi Designs? Is that the better one?
They both work. It's Linda at Linda Lenore or Linda at GreenCheeDesigns.com.
Very good. Thank you. And I also would add, Linda, that your book, The Gift of the Red Envelope, has a whole all those questions, or a lot of those questions that you ask about each area of the house, and you have one about the bedroom. So picking up a copy of Linda's book is also a good idea, Cecilia. Where can people get your book, Linda?
They can only get my book through my website or contacting me or at one of my presentations. I chose when I wrote the book 15 years ago not to have it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble because they weren't paying taxes at the time. And community, my values and ethics said, from a community perspective, taxes need to be paid. So contact me for the book, and I'll be glad to send it to you.
Okay, so that's Linda at LindaLenore.com. And Cecilia says, cool ideas, Linda.
Great. Yeah. Oh, I've got more. So please, you've got questions, you've got concerns, get a hold of me. I've got some great ideas from, 25-plus years of doing this.
That is a great offer you're making. So I hope many of our listeners, many of you, will take advantage of that. I've known you, Linda, I don't know, a long time. I've been a member of the Speakers Association for 25 years, and I've known you for many of those years. And Linda's a person of her word. You write her, she'll get back to you and give you some help. So I appreciate that about you.
It feelings mutual. Thank you very much, Eileen.
Sure. Well, I would love to talk with you longer. Obviously, a lot of people are getting benefit from your appearance. Unfortunately, we're at the end of our time today. And next time I invite you, it's not going to be so long. Linda, you've been asking to be on the show and letting me know that you're available, and I didn't take advantage. I apologize to you for that. And you guys who are listening don't know how fortunate you are that I finally said, yes, let's do that. Sometimes you don't value the expertise of the people who are right in your own life, not enough. But I think more to the point, Linda, was my own antipathy to the idea, because I'm not big into decorating, and it seemed like it was a little frou-frou to me. And I'm really delighted to learn that it's not, that it's really important, that it can be life-enhancing and also save you from threats to life, which is really great. So thank you so much, Linda, for being here on the show. The book that you wrote is called The Gift of the Red Envelope, and you're also co-author of Power to Change, which has a wonderful article that you wrote, or a chapter that you wrote. So thank you for bringing beauty and grace and love to this show, as you bring it everywhere you go, as I know from having known you for so many years.
Well, thank you, Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here, and everything always happens in its own divine right timing, so the timing was perfect. I really appreciate it. The Chinese proverb that says, if there's righteousness in the heart, there's beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. And if there's order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. That proverb has just touched my heart from the first time that I heard it. And it's just so much a part of what I strive to live. And whatever I can do to help anyone, please let me help you so that we can have that beauty, that righteousness of your heart, be the beauty in your home so we can have peace in this world. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda. Wow. All right, join us every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, which is noon Eastern Time, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Next week, our topic is somatic intelligence, which is something I can't wait to explore because there are amazing ways to learn to listen to and work with your own body, things that I personally have never heard of, and I bet you haven't either. So be sure to sign up to listen to our archives on emotionalpro.com and be with us. Don't forget the Emotional Intelligence Telesummit starting September 3rd, where I'll be giving away 3 hours of personal parenting coaching or personal relationship coaching to a lucky winner and presenting a workshop on what it takes to parent emotionally literate children. Go to my website, emotionalpro.com, for more information on this event and to register. And it's free to attend. You don't have to pay anything. Robin and Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media are our producers. Thank you, Paul and Robin. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. And thank you, everyone, for your questions. See you next week.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.